Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll read at verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all of this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever he asks in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is a passage that allows us to discuss for a moment sort of the beauty of Scripture. Because these Scriptures in this New Testament are 2,000 years old. And for 2,000 years, folks have been reading them and trying to make sense of them and trying to apply them to their lives and trying to be each and every day better than they were in the past. And that's for 2,000 years. People have been reading Scriptures and trying to come to an understanding. And we read things in different ways based on where we are in life, where we are in the history of the world. How we read this scripture today is not going to be how they read it 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. And that's the beauty of the scriptures, is that they hold this deeper truth that people can find in many different areas and times and ways. And that truth is the beauty of it. And I mention that because you've probably heard this scripture in a different context. This is one of the scriptures that we read at funerals all the time. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I go ahead of you, and you know the way. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I go ahead of you to make a place for you. In the context of a funeral, it's a beautiful, passionate scripture, this blessing of comfort that our deceased loved one is not gone, but they are in heaven. Christ has already gone and prepared their room for them in the Lord's house. Beautiful, amazing, a great way to understand this scripture. But scripture has different ways to be understood. We're not gathered for a funeral. I hope you didn't walk in those doors today expecting a funeral. That would be odd. This is our regularly scheduled worship. So we're not going to read this scripture like we would at a funeral. We're not picturing our individual loved one going to heaven and being welcomed in God's mansion with a room already prepared for Jesus. Okay? That's a wonderful image and understanding for that time and those places. I'm not asking you to get rid of it. I want you to come to this hearing of this scripture in a new, fresh light. Okay? Does that make sense? We on board? I can go. I don't ever mind y'all saying, no, just get out of here. We'll take communion and go home. All right? So we're going to start with a new understanding for today. One of our problems, I think, is that people of faith like us are waiting too much to die. Because what happens when we die? We go get to be with God in heaven. And everything's going to be wonderful and great. There won't be any more wars and strife. My body won't hurt. My knee that's been hurting for 50 years will be healed up. My hairs won't be gray anymore. When I'm dead, I'll be with God in heaven, and things will be wonderful. This is a problem because it becomes a goal. Death becomes a goal. If I can just make it through today, I'll be good to go. If I can make it through this life and find my deathbed, I'll be with God and things will be wonderful. I won't have to worry about global warming. I won't have to worry about Iran or what those politicians are doing. It will all be good. I can take a nap. I can rest today because later I'll be good. Death becomes a goal and we get complacent in our lives. Jesus says he's going ahead to prepare a room for us in God's mansion in heaven. We're going to get rid of that. We're not going to look for the afterlife and wait for our deaths for all of these things to be good. That prayer that we pray every single week, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. We look for your heaven here on this earth. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. We don't want to wait until after our deaths to experience this heaven. There was one of our faith mothers in the history. Her name was Teresa of Avila. She describes in each of our hearts and in each of our souls God's mansion in our hearts. Have you ever imagined that? Have you ever imagined God dwelling inside of your heart, inside of your soul? She's one of the first faith leaders to articulate this. And it's been articulated and thought about and spoken of in many different ways since her. But that when we are created, God places a special spot in our souls, a place that only God can fill, a hole that when we don't accept Christ and God into our hearts, there's an empty space. People that speak of addictions talk about trying to fill those parts of us that seem so empty with different things, drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. It's the same idea. There's a place that God has created just for us inside of our souls that God can fill. I would like you to imagine this is the Father's house that Jesus is speaking about. Jesus goes ahead and prepares the way. Jesus says that he's the gate that opens up into eternal life. This gate that opens up into our own hearts and allows us to find that place where God is dwelling within our souls. To recognize the ways in which we can be welcomed into God's house. To dine with God. To be hospitable to and with God in our very souls. When God's house is full within our souls, it changes the way we see the world. No longer are we troubled because our hearts are empty. But our hearts are full with God's love and God's presence because we've followed Christ to those places. We're not worried about the things of tomorrow. We're not worried about those things that Jesus spoke of, like what we will wear and what we will eat, because we know that our Creator who loves us dwells within us and has offered those things to us. We know that in following Jesus, it changes the way we see ourselves and the world around us. Now, this isn't just a warm, fuzzy, I've got Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I'm back at camp. It isn't just a simple, warm, fuzzy, Jesus is with me. This changes the ways in which we operate in the world. I know that Christ is in my heart. I've seen him. I know he's there. I feel his presence. And I also see the Jesus and the God dwelling within your soul. It's a lot harder to harm or speak poorly or kill someone when you see God dwelling within them. We hurt people by dehumanizing them, saying that they're not human, that they're not God's children. When we have God dwelling in God's house deep in our souls, we see that in those around us as well. Because we didn't invite God into our hearts. God was already there. We followed Jesus and his directions to go to that place ourselves as well. God is already dwelling in those that we meet. And so we come to this understanding that God dwells within them. Knowing this also, we see the many things that Jesus did. He spoke all the time of healing people, feeding the masses. And here in this passage, he promised us that when we are with him, when we follow him, that God also is with us. Those works that we saw him do, we'll be able to do ourselves, and greater things even, if we simply ask. Jesus turned the world upside down by being with God, by God being with him. Jesus opens that path for us to recognize God in ourselves. Imagine all the things that Jesus did. And then what we can accomplish ourselves as a group. If the one Jesus was able to change the world by being with the Father and the Father being with him, what might we accomplish ourselves, each one of us together? Holding and celebrating God's love in our lives, his dwelling in our hearts. And what might we do to change this world? Imagine if all of us loved the way that Jesus loved. If all of us saw creation and the world around us the way that Jesus did. It's not simply a warm, fuzzy what if, but it is a call from Jesus to do greater works than even him. By holding tight to God's love, to recognizing the power in our souls, that God dwells within us, that we know how to get there, how to invite those to see God dwelling in themselves as well, and the works, the things that we might accomplish when we hold true to God's word. So it's difficult to find a new place, but God is already dwelling within you. Christ lights the way, shows us how to get there, how to unlock God's beauty and works in our lives. May we find the Father's house with those dwellings already prepared and then step forth into the world to do his works. Amen.